passada no centro.
Guys, welcome to another exciting episode of Soccer Talk FC podcast. We had 32 teams come into the World Cup, and now we are reduced to two. On Sunday, we will see who will be the world champion for the next 4 years. I have Ayok to discuss it with me here today. And Ayok, I'd like to start. At the beginning of the competition, if you were asked to probably pick out two teams that will be at the World Cup, what are the chances at the World Cup final? What are the chances that you would pick France and Argentina?
Really, France wouldn't be in my top five, actually.
Okay.
Considering the fact they lost some players to injury, key players, actually. N'Golo Kante, Paul Pogba, Presnel Kimpembe, Nkunku, Karim Benzema, and all that. So factoring in these things, like France, I didn't give them a chance. And you know, the World Cup is very funny. Like, defending champions.
You would think they would
crash out in the first round of the competition and all that. But France just did the unthinkable for me. And if not for anything, you have to give Didier the chance now.
Yeah.
He's right. Really. Really.
Yeah,
so
you know,
it wouldn't be France for me, but... I've picked Argentina from day one.
Oh, nice.
Coming into the World Cup, they had a 32 plus games unbeaten run.
Yeah.
And winning the Copa America. And it's not like they are the best team out there. It's not that they have like quality of other teams when you consider, but they have, I think, cohesion. And what has worked for Scaloni so far is he understands, like, coming into every game, you don't have to be like a Pep, like, this is the way I want to play. Like, this is my way of playing. This is, it's not an Enrique, for example.
Yeah.
So, like, he has been pragmatic so far in the competition. And coming into the competition, even when they lost against Saudi and people were, everybody was like, no, Argentina, we expected more and all that. I knew they had it in them.
Yeah.
But that was a wake-up call, actually. That was a wake-up call for Argentina to know that, yes, this is the World Cup, this is the stage, and everyone here is serious. This is serious business. Argentina has always been my favorite. Then maybe Brazil. Then I always have a soft spot for Germany coming into every competition. Every competition, but this the previous World Cup 2018 and this particular one, Germany.
Yeah.
No. If someone would have asked me if there was one who could have closest World Cup record goals, I would have said Müller.
Yeah.
But the last World Cup haven't been good for Germany. Maybe just expect better Germany in the Euros, because I know as Flick is capable and he's the man for the job, but Germany, they fall my hands this time, true.
Yeah, I mean, if you had asked me also before the competition started, I would have had France in the team because I thought France was very experienced. If I recall, in the preview that I did, if you listen to the preview, I said it there, that France looks like a team that can go all the way or a team that can be knocked out in the first round. So in addition to all their injury problems, they are a team that is all. I mean, they always have a couple of unrest. They're always fighting among themselves.
Mbappe
and Giroud, it will rub you. It's Karim Benzema. It's always one
issue.
So I saw them coming into the World Cup as a team that has the potential to get to the final and also a team that has potential to be out in the first round. I want to
there's
believe
no in between.
Yeah, there's no in between for France for me. That was what I
said
in the preview podcast. So I had France to play Brazil. Those were the two teams that I thought were my favorite. I remember thinking about Argentina carefully, but I looked at that unbeaten run. And that was the main reason why I thought they would not win the competition. Because football has a funny way of stopping you when you're at the point of breaking records. My
hope,
when I look at it, I thought that they had a very pragmatic team, just as you said. They have a team that is not super talented like regular Argentine teams, but a team that is physical, that is difficult to beat, and they have heart. That is one thing I have always said. They have heart.
Yes, they have heart.
If they take a lead, they become more difficult because they know that they're in the lead and they don't want to lose it at all.
Lose it.
When the going gets tough, That is when they stand up. That's why against Netherlands, when it became very fiery, I told the guy I was playing with, Argentina lose this game because this is what they are made for. This is the kind of games that they like. They don't like a game that is played at gentleman speed. That's the kind of when you compare the kind of players Otamendi, Romero. You know, when you look at those players, Rodrigo de Paul. So those are the fiery characters that they have. When I look at that, and I thought that because of that unbeaten run, I didn't expect that they would lose it. I expected that the unbeaten run would stop at the World Cup, which is why I didn't have Argentina in the final. But I had France, so I'm glad that you had Argentina. As good as on this podcast, we have the two finals from the beginning. The game that we saw Argentina play against Croatia, we saw France play against Morocco. Which of these games are you the most, and which of them are you mostly going to talk about right now?
Which of them did what?
Which of them stood out for you in the games? Which of the games really stood out for you that you want to talk about first?
I think Argentina-Croatia.
Okay, so go ahead.
Because it came with a lot of history. For me, it was both when these two teams met. It was when Messi made scored his first international goal for Argentina. It was when Modric made his debut for Croatia. And years later, they are here. And considering the fact that he played in the last competition and the last World Cup too, Croatia got 3 ahead of Argentina, and coming into this one, like, it was a crucial moment. It was a crucial game. And if Croatia had made the finals again, if they had made, I wouldn't call their campaign a failure this time around.
Yeah.
But last time they punched above their weight, and this time around they wanted to do even better. It would have been a repeat of the final, maybe them if they had beaten.
Yeah.
It would have been historic. Yeah. It would have been different. So I felt that game meant
teams coming into the game
because the Croatians wanted going into the final, basically
everything
was at stake. We had to throw in everything, including the kitchen sink, and that's what they did. And they won the game. And immediately the first goal was scored. When they considered that penalty, I knew the game was over because. One thing, like you explained earlier about the Argentines, they have heart, and when they are leading, they wouldn't want anything to come. They wouldn't want to lose it and all that. So basically, that game was for me. For Morocco, I think the Croatia versus Argentina game is more significant, like, to talk about for me, because we have always had the idea that Morocco punched above their weight, and I guess against the French national team, it would be a different game. And we saw it yesterday. It was a different game.
Yeah.
Because, it was totally a different game. When you want to play a team like Spain, I think you know what you expect. Like, I think for me, as a manager, I always play in as much as they have quality, certain times you will need more than that. You need a certain type of players to kind of like offset the tactics. You have to a certain type of players to like do damage. Basically, do the damage. And yes, when you do damage and these players don't get to play their own style, I think it's basically easy. So the Croatia versus Argentina game was like, because the whole world, like all eyes, was on Lionel Messi.
You know
the feeling, like the Messi factor, and you have a Messi, you have a Modric, and that game actually solidified Modric's place in like my top 5 midfielders of all time. In as much as they lost, but you just have to you know that this guy has done more than enough to get into that league of the Zinedine Zidane and the rest, and that crucial midfield,
Go ahead.
That crucial midfield of Kovacic, Brozovic, and Modric. I expected more, though. Even though Kovacic, I praised him for being a fantastic ball carrier, but no end product for me. You carry the ball, take it to a certain level, then no, nothing else to do. Like, I expected more from that midfield because I felt the Argentine midfield like couldn't match them, like quality for quality and everything. They couldn't. The Rodrigo de Paul, Fernandez, and McAllister, and I thought like I know they couldn't match them for that. But Scaloni, as I said earlier, was pragmatic. He did the he did what he had to do. Added more numbers so that they release the 4 years early. So basically it works. And when you consider that they are playing at the highest level, three of them, I'm talking about Modric, Brozovic, and Kovacic, playing at the highest level. These type of games are the type of games that you're supposed to come up and show that, yes, I'm elite. Like, I'm playing up there with elite players and all that. But they didn't actually show that. The aside Modric, Brozovic, because he's a crypto god, maybe because Bitcoin took a dip. It kind of affected him. For Kovacic, I don't actually know. But Modric, I have to say it again, he's in the league of Zinedine Zidane and Co.
Yeah, I mean, while I think the other game really stood out for me, I cannot but agree with most of what you said about the Argentina versus Croatia. Going into the game, it was a game that I expected so much more than it later turned out. It turned out to be easier for Argentina than I thought it would be.
True.
Yeah, the midfield three, I mean, you have actually said it all, but just to put it in another way, I think three things were very key in that game. The fact that Scaloni understood that midfield three was going to control the game, so he switched their formation, because against Netherlands, they played with three at the back. Much more like a 3-5-2. So because he knows that Croatia will dominate the midfield, they switched to a 4-4-2, and they have four men in the midfield to be able to occupy. So that was very key. The second thing that was key again is the first since that first goal, like you also, while I was just watching, really I saw the first goal, I knew it was over. And I think the third thing, okay, so maybe four things. Now, let me just update you to four things. The third thing is that Croatia does not have end product. We don't have end product up front.
They don't even have goals in them.
Yeah, they did not really threaten. They just had the ball and was just knocking the ball around, waiting for an opportunity to come up. And then the fourth reason was, of course, Lionel Messi. So Lionel Messi was a differential there. So looking at them one after the other, the midfield three, I think they did well. Scaloni having to choke them sort of like got the desired result. Kovacic was the best for me. And believe me, it is not even until that day that I think Luka Modric can sit at the table of anybody. For a very long time now, I have thought that Luka Modric can sit at any table in the world. So I'm glad that you are on my side on that right now. The second aspect about the penalty. Well, the penalty, for me, if I were the referee, I would not have given that ball as a penalty.
Do you know that penalty decision? Sorry. I see it as 50-50. If the referee hadn't given it as penalty, nobody would have said anything.
I think you're right on that. And my reason for saying so is Livakovic ran out, Alvarez ran to him, Alvarez flicked the ball, and then Livakovic was standing. He had his hand spread out, his legs spread out, then Alvarez ran into Livakovic. Livakovic could not have done anything except we say the goalkeeper should not go for the ball. Because the clear example is, if you were in the middle of the pitch, if maybe Alvarez were running at Gavidol, for instance, and then the defender standing there, the striker pushed the ball and ran into the defender, I am sure that the referee would wave the play on. But again, like you rightly said, modern day football, the rules have changed. But again, it can be argued that if Livakovic had not obstructed Alvarez, Alvarez would have been through on goal and would have a better contact on him. So I totally agree. I just feel, again, we've had many talks about referees, so I don't even want to dwell about on referees. But I just feel at the World Cup semi-final stage, if I were in charge or if I were in the VAR room, knowing it's 50-50, I would have gone with not giving the penalty, and I would have been considering it the World Cup. If it were a clear-cut penalty, fine.
Penalty,
but at that level, So I felt that first goal kind of like shaped the game. And when Messi took that penalty, it was inevitable. No goalkeeper would have stopped that. And that went in. The second goal was the backbreaker for Croatia. Because if you remember, the second goal came as a result of a Croatia free kick on the attack.
Then
he broke up, Alvarez ran, and then comedy of errors, and Alvarez got that. At that point, it was always going to be one result at the end of the day before Lionel Messi then make it a Lionel Messi show. So yeah, I mean, it was a fantastic game. I enjoyed the game. I didn't like the way it went with the refereeing, but on the average, I enjoyed the game. Now,
I think the knockout stages from the quarterfinal, like a lot of players complained about referees.
But again, it is not all the players that complain that I think are genuine. Because I hear Portugal complain about the referee, and I don't think the referee did anything wrong.
Like, Bruno Fernandes complained.
That had Argentina versus Netherlands, I thought Mathieu Laos messed up the game.
Yeah, he messed up.
He lost control of that game. So I will agree that he lost control of
the number. The number of yellow cards will actually agree with you. He did.
He lost that game when Paredes shoots that ball to the bench. There have been tension in that game, but the tension did not boil over until that point. Now, Paredes had a terrible tackle on Nathan Ake. And then stood up and kicked the ball into the Dutch bench. At that point, I think Paredes should have gotten a red card. Did not give Paredes a red card. He tried to manage the situation, and that is why everybody did not get into it. He should have taken control at that point. Give a red card. Give a yellow card to Van Dijk for running into him. And then he will have everybody back in line and then take charge. It is what it is. I mean, the penalty or not, I still think that the better side between Argentina and Croatia won at the end of the day. So it is quite possibly, if you ask me, even if you had not given that penalty, there is still a huge chance that Croatia would play 120 minutes without scoring. And all Argentina needed was a Lionel Messi magic and they would have scored. Yeah. So it's not, at the end of the day, it's not like it is a deal breaker, in my opinion. It's not like it is the reason why Croatia lost. But I'm happy to have Argentina play against France. I like when big boys play against big boys. I'm not a fan of fairy tale. The only reason I enjoy this Morocco fairy tale is because Morocco is African.
So I enjoyed it too.
Having a conversation around the Morocco versus France, coming into the game, we said, well, it's generally publicized. Morocco had about the best defense we have seen in the world. It felt like the wall of Jericho and the wall of Berlin, the wall of China, all put in front of Bono. And in 5 minutes, France are already up 1-0. So that was a point that I think really tilted that game also. And if you ask me, I think that the manager, while I'm not blaming him, and football is easy to say with benefit of hindsight. Having watched the game, it's easier for us to then talk about it than before it. The manager gambled on playing Saiz, which it turned out that Saiz cannot move. You saw that move where Giroud. Yes. If Giroud in 2022 is running past you, then you're not moving at all. You understand? You're not moving at all.
I get.
So I felt that move to play five at the back was what exposed them. Because if they had played four at the back, which they have always played at every point in this competition, it is possible that. Now, it is, again, football is better said with hindsight, but it's possible that goal will not come around. But then, do you think that the goalkeeper should have done better also on that goal?
Yes, he was unsure. If like when you're stepping out, like step all out and pick the ball. If you're not stepping out, if you're coming out for, if you're staying in goal, stay in goal. So he was particularly unsure. And it was strategic, like Hernandez finding himself in that position. I think that's one of the reasons how it hurt the Moroccan team entirely with playing five at the back. Because the French team had a strategy. Because when you play five at the back, you know that Hakimi and who was the guy playing from the left?
Mazraoui.
Want to do more. Mazraoui. So Hernandez found himself in that position when just the starting minutes of the game and all that, and the French are overloading the box of the Moroccans already. It was intentional, and they got a goal. The goalkeeper made an error, true. He Bono didn't, like, he was unsure. Do I go?
Yeah.
Do
I stay? Yeah. What I felt do I so do at this point?
Yes. So, and that was what actually. So, they did what they could at the end of the day, but that was just it. They did what they could, and that was just it. But the French midfield felt the rot of Amrabat and Unai. Because, and I was thinking, if Fofana suffered like that, what would have happened if it was a Rabiot that played?
Go ahead.
So yesterday, I guess it was a blessing in disguise too for the French, because Rabiot didn't get to play.
I totally agree with you on that. You know, I was thinking it also, because the way the game turned out to suit Fofana more than Rabiot. Before that game, I was looking at it. A couple of minutes before the game, I was going to send it to our WhatsApp group there are two ways France can approach this game. France can either attack Morocco in a way that Portugal and Spain did not, France also sits back and wait for Morocco, because everybody has been going towards Morocco. They're not able to break Morocco down. France might as well sit back and hope that Morocco would come out so that they can have opportunities.
And knowing the fact that they have a killer Mbappe.
Yeah. So, God help them, France scored early and they had to retreat. Because if you ask me, I am not happy with France's performance. If I were a French, I would be very concerned. Now, I agree that this is a team that knows what is required to do. They know how to play. They know how to suffer to win the game. And they did that. What matters most is winning. But I didn't like the fact that, I mean, this is me coming from as a French fan. I didn't like the fact that they ceded possession. They ceded it all to Morocco. Took initiative. Giroud had a couple of chances, which if he had taken, the game could have been done in the first half.
Yes, but it has been buried in the first half.
There were times in the second half that the game got very edgy, that I thought that, France playing with fire, because anything could have happened at that point. Any of those shots could have gone in, and then Morocco becomes much more difficult to beat, you get?
Yeah.
So, I mean, all things being equal, all things considered, I think France could have done better, but the game turned out to the way it is. And we saw the attacking side of Morocco, which was very refreshing to look into. Midfield, the excellent midfield of Amrabat, Unai, combining with Amala. So I have a question for you. In this competition, we've had a couple of new, I wouldn't say new stars, but the World Cup has rebranded a couple of players. Or Unai, who do you think in the competition has been the best Moroccan midfielder?
I think Amrabat for me. And you hear a lot of, Premier League fans.
Yeah.
Say, wow, this is new from Amrabat. This is blah, 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 blah. It means they don't watch the Serie A and all. Yeah. And because I've seen him in his good days and his bad days, in the World Cup, and that's one thing I love about tournaments. When you're in a close cycle with a certain set of players, you're being observed, like everything about you is being engineered to an extent. Okay. So it gives you focus to an extent, it like makes you understand the assignment. This is what we need to do. This is what you need to do on your part to make this team better and all that. And Amrabat, like in this environment, for me, he has been one of the best midfielders of the competition.
Yep, I agree with you on that.
Yes,
I agree.
Best midfielders of the competition, because he was the glue that was holding the Moroccan team, like in transition.
Yeah.
Defending and in everything, he was the guy that was in the middle of every mix, and they needed him to be. There was a run of Mbappe through the left side of the flank,
He
was the one that he initiated the attack. Then France picked a counter. Mbappe did that run.
Okay.
He was the one that tracked Mbappe into their 18-yard box. And started the transition. Magical.
Yeah, yeah, he was. Amrabat for me. He was very. Amrabat was, well, I would have gone for Unai, maybe because
Okay.
I have known Amrabat over a couple of years. I've seen him at Watford, I have seen him at Fiorentina, and I know
Scenario.
that Amrabat has it in him, although I didn't expect it to be at this level, but I had known that Amrabat has it in him. Unai just happened to be a revelation for me. Like,
Revelation, yes,
he
true.
does not even look like a footballer. He looks like a teenage boy.
Footballer.
He looked like a teenage boy selling sugarcane on the
Yeah,
street, you know?
true.
And then you see him running with the ball, moving. There was a particular move. He had the ball. He was in the middle of Fofana, Tchouaméni, and Griezmann. He was going
Yeah.
to the right, and then suddenly he turned to the left, and he lost the three of them, created
Them, yeah.
switch ball, and I was like, oh my word. I mean, Amrabat's too fantastic. I mean, whichever one you decide to go for at the end of the day, I think the
Yeah.
fact that Unai is just new to me just makes it
Yeah.
much more impressive for me.
Yeah, I understand.
Another player that I would
And
like us to quickly talk about before we move on to do a preview of the final is Antoine Griezmann.
okay.
Now, I
Griezmann,
always know Griezmann to be very intelligent. I always know Griezmann to be a very good footballer. Of course, he was on the Ballon d'Or podium. Was it 2017, 2018, or 2016,
18,
thereabout? Yeah, so
yeah.
he's not a newbie. But yeah, if you see how his career has gone since he moved to Barcelona, he came back to Atletico. They had the issue of the 30 minutes per game contract
Per
dispute.
game, yeah, contractor.
And now he's not even playing as a striker. He's playing as a withdrawn playmaker. And he's not just useful for France when it comes to attacking. He's also clearing ball at the edge of his 6-yard box and saving
Mr. Box.
goals at the same time. I mean, have you ever seen a star player that is as selfless as Antoine Griezmann?
I wouldn't say yes. Because yesterday I was bantering with someone on Twitter. I was saying Griezmann is even a better DM than McTominay. it sounds funny, yeah, but yesterday he showed it. He showed like I can do anything for this team. And it seems like he's something different when he plays for the French national team. And you have to give it again to Didier Deschamps. He trusts him. He has shown, even when Griezmann was having his worst moment at Barcelona, coming back to Atletico during the 30 games, whatsoever, he still keeps playing. He keeps playing him and all that. But I want to ask a question. Yeah? I want to direct this question to you. Do you think, would you consider Griezmann as one of those system players? Will you call him a system player?
Well, I would say, going by what I have seen, yes, I think he's a system player. I think he's a player that cannot function in every team. You understand?
Everything, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
you can put him in a Pep Guardiola Manchester City and he does very well. And then if you put him in probably a Real Madrid team, for instance, and I don't think there is a role for him there, you get.
There.
So
I don't
yeah,
think there is too.
I'll agree he's a system player, but then if you're able to get a fantastic system for him, he has shown that he's an excellent, excellent asset to have both offensively and defensively for any team.
Defensively, true.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into our preview of the final. The final is on Sunday. I remembered final 4 years ago. I remember the final 2010. I remember the final. Actually, I have watched World Cup final since 1994, and I can tell you
Wow.
everywhere I was since I have been watching those World Cup finals. So Sunday is a day that I really look forward to.
Forward
France is
to.
playing against Argentina. I'd like to pick your brain. What do you th who do you think would make a difference? Who do you think would win? What is the feel that you get? What are you expecting from that game on Sunday?
This is going to be tight. This is going to be tight. France are finding themselves in familiar territory. Yeah, especially theirs is recent, almost same set of players and all. And for the Argentina national team, I think from 2014, I think we just have Nicolas Otamendi and Leo Messi from the team that lost the final to Germany. So it's a different feeling like for both sides. For the French national team, I think they're booming with confidence right now. We have done this before. We know what it means to be here, even though we don't have some of the players that we're here with, Matuidi, Pogba, Kante, Steven Zonzi, Who am I missing?
Yeah, there are a couple of players that were,
The players that are not here, but again, the players they have brought into the team, like the Kamavinga, the Tchouaméni, the new guys, they want to show, they want to prove that we can fill in those shoes perfectly. We can do, like for Tchouaméni, I can fill in the Kanté role. For the Rabiots, for whatsoever you know, I want to show that I can actually do it. Despite the fact that those players are out, we are the same French national team. We have been here before and all. So going into the game like on Sunday, the Lionel Messi factor, you can't cancel it. Like that's number one for me. You can't cancel the Lionel Messi factor, and he'll be the guy like on the headline. This is probably his last World Cup.
Very
And
likely. Even he's.
coming into the World Cup, you hear a lot of things that like it's funny to me when people say he deserves a World Cup, the football world owes him the World Cup, Messi, Amy Lokan, and all that. It's funny. Because I'm a big Lionel Messi fan, but it's funny when people he deserves a World Cup and all that. No, I don't like if you deserve it, win it. And this time around, he wants to prove to, I think, like even to himself, that he can win it at the big stage. Because one thing we have always used to drag Lionel Messi is him not having an international trophy. Then they did that madness with Argentina and won the Copa. Yeah. And now this is the biggest stage in football. This is the World Cup. And he has been in the World Cup final before. But I think that German team of 2014 is stronger than this current French national team. And the Argentine team of 2014 is inferior to this particular one. I still don't rate this particular team, but when you put both teams like on paper, I think this team is a bit superior to that particular team. Yeah. So I feel it will be cagey, it will be tight. And both teams have something in common. When they score a goal, I think it's over. The first team to score, like, will
Yes,
be the end of the
I
game.
was also going to say that. I was also going to
Yeah,
say
I think it will be.
I strongly
I
feel
think it will be.
the first to score is very
Yeah.
likely. I mean, first to score is has like 80% chance of winning the
Of
game
winning
at
the game.
that point in
Yeah.
time. France, for me, France is usually open. They always give you chances. If you look at their
Chances, yeah,
run,
true.
they have conceded against teams like Australia. They conceded against their second game. Who did they even play? Was it Poland?
Argentina played in Poland's group.
No. Okay, it's not played in Poland. Okay, so that means they played Poland
Yes.
in knockouts in probably second
Knockout,
round.
yes.
Yeah, I mean, but the point I want to make is you can see how many chances the opposition creates against them. Australia,
Argentina.
England, they're usually very open because of the style of ball that they play. So even when we say they
Yeah.
can be pragmatic, they are not that deadlock, Diego Simeone kind of pragmatic.
Kind of,
They are
yeah.
pragmatic that usually make last-ditch tackles. They try to close things up last-ditch, but they're not that very close-knit. Argentina, on the other hand, I see them as a team that is very compact. The high level of camaraderie, they play for each other. They are
Each
really
other,
hoping to win. Win for themselves and also win for Lionel Messi. And to speak about being deserving, I just feel it's the emotional part of us speaking. We have watched a couple of
That's
these
true.
guys, excellent football players, Lionel Messi for the past 20 years, Cristiano Ronaldo, and then you will just wish and hope that they get to the point where you're able to add the World Cup to it. Also for bands, it's important for bands because I'm a Cristiano Ronaldo huge fan, and I am sure that once Lionel Messi wins, a couple of people will come at me. But you see, the point is, Messi wins, Messi does not win has no impact actually on Lionel Messi's legacy. Lionel Messi will still continue to
Legacy,
be considered as one of the best in the world. And when it comes to GOAT competition, GOAT conversations, what people don't understand is even if Messi tends to win five straight World Cups, a Ronaldo FC will still tell you that Ronaldo is the GOAT. Even if Ronaldo tends to win 5 World Cup, Messi FC will still tell you. So when people use this as a barometer to talk about goats, I always be like, no, it is not necessary. Because at the end of the day, even if Lionel Messi wins, if I still think I appreciate Cristiano Ronaldo more, I'll go the Cristiano Ronaldo way. But not to divert.
I still have like my indices on who the goat is. When we see the greatest of all time, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Do we just leave it at their abilities or achievement or what they have been able to do with the sport in and outside the game?
Yeah, yeah.
Because if it's what they have been able to do with the sport in and outside the game,
yeah.
And when it comes to personality and all, I think Cristiano Ronaldo is the guy.
Yeah, but like, you see, there is something else. When it comes to GOAT competition, when it comes to GOAT conversation, there's something else that I want to pick out. And I was having this conversation a couple of days ago with my friend that, you see, we're not able to tell GOATs, a GOAT particularly, because of different generations. We're only able different to say, oh, okay, from what you have seen is different. And I was telling my friend, I said, 20 years time, one boy somewhere will Google Ronaldo de Lima. He will watch him on YouTube. He will see his dribbles and everything. He will check on Wikipedia. He will see the title he wants. And then this same boy will Google Giroud. And then Scorpion kick, everything that Giroud scored. And then you will see everything that Giroud won. Giroud has won World Cup. Giroud won Champions League. He won Serie A.
Yeah.
He won Europa League. He won this. And at the end of the day, someday, 20 years time, these boys will have conversation. And one person will tell you, oh, Giroud is a better striker than Ronaldo de Lima.
Than Ronaldo de Lima. True.
Because of what have watched on YouTube and highlight. Mm. But me and you that watch both of them will say no. You understand? So that means that there are a couple of people in the past would probably have been as good as maybe Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo, but we didn't get to watch them. There are people like Puskas that we don't talk about often. There are people like Di Stefano that we never got to. And then we fall into this bracket. So usually when people talk about GOATs, I enjoy the conversation. It's a conversation that I like, but there are parameters that we're not able to tell who is it. At the end of the day, what will just happen is hold your goat, I hold my goat, make all of us to work. And I didn't really want to divert into this conversation, but I'm glad that we get that out of the way. So just to wrap it up, because we're short of time, I think France has enough in them to be able to see out Argentina. I see Argentina as a very good team. And again, you had said it all, Lionel Messi could do anything. But in Lionel Messi, France also have Kylian Mbappe. And I feel like France has much more attacking options. So you have Dembele, you have Mbappe, you have Giroud. Argentina has struggled with height. We saw it when they played against Netherlands. Giroud, joy there. You have Dembele on the right, Mbappe on the left. Adrien Rabiot will be back if he's able to pick up his form. You have Tchouaméni, who has been fantastic. Argentina also has fantastic player. I expect to see very strong midfield play. But I just feel like if push comes to shove, France has a next gear that France can push onto that Argentina may not go to. So if you ask me, I think France would win. Although, I mean, speaking of emotions, it would be good to see Lionel Messi win. Messi has suffered so much when it comes to international football. And if it's about emotions, look at it. France won last year. France still has Mbappe. France will still likely win again before the end of Mbappe's career. You understand? If you look at the French guys, they're young. You have mentioned Tchouaméni, Camavinga. They are very young guys. In defense, Konate, Upamecano, guys, Theo Hernandez. So they would still win another World Cup. So if it comes to emotions, I think I would want Argentina to. Argentina also has young guys, but of course, Lionel Messi is not young anymore. I would want Argentina to win. But if it comes to football, putting out the terms, I think France just edge it. I feel like France just have something extra that France will be able to move up another gear if it is required. But you know the
when
beauty
it comes
of
to emotions.
Yeah, go ahead.
When it comes to emotions, I think I want Argentina to win to a Lionel Messi World Cup. It
will
be magical to see and all that. And I think, like you rightly said, France have a lot of players that can decide the game.
Yep.
Yeah, you can switch from an Mbappe to Olivier Giroud to a Dembele that can be magical when he wants to be,
When he wants to
and
be, exactly.
when he wants to be. So they have options, and you have Tchouaméni who has been fantastic. Like that game against England, like the you couldn't expect like a goal coming from Tchouaméni, but it was the guy that started the show and all that. So they have, but for Argentina, when you think about the entire, they are good as a unit. Yeah, they are good as a unit. They are good. Like everyone understands their assignment. This is what you're supposed to do and do and do and do and do. Yeah, but when you decide, they don't. Like you said, they don't have. Can they hit second gear? Can they hit third gear when the
He
need
won't
are in
require.
our order? Yeah,
Exactly.
I don't think they have it. So I'm also thinking France will take the day, but it's football. Very
Yeah,
funny
sure.
game.
And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it,
Yeah.
because if we know who will win, then we might not as well bother to watch. So that's the
So we'll
beauty of it.
watch.
We don't have
So,
enough time to discuss the third place match because we have to round up now. So in one word,
yeah.
let me just get your feel. Who would win the third place match?
Morocco.
Okay, perfect. I agree with you on that. We don't have to discuss it further. Thank you so much, Ayok. Thank you so much,
Thank you
guys, for
very
joining us.
much.
We'll hit you
Yeah.
again after the final. We'll do a review of the third place and also the final. So hope to have you on board then.
Yeah.